Welcome back to the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, as always, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is May 3rd, I believe. May 3rd, 2024. It's morning. I'm slowly waking up, so bear with me. Got up this morning. It's a beautiful day so far. It's a little cold, so I figured I might as well knock out a podcast. Because there was an actual topic or theme for this one. It wasn't just going to be a bunch of... I actually will not do podcasting if it's going to be a bunch of rambling. Unless there's some sort of cohesion to it. So, this is a... There is a specific topic. Last night, this week I've had off from work and I've been just doing... Just taking a break, just relaxing. And one of the things that I've been doing is rewatching, or frankly just watching, the Ken Burns The Civil War miniseries that came out in, I believe, 1990, and then it broadcast in 1994. It occurred to me recently how I grew up in the 90s, and I was fairly young when this stuff all came out, and I think, you know, speaking of Civil War, so at Gettysburg, the Battle of Gettysburg, there was this called the High Water Mark of the Confederacy. And that was where General Armistead, who was leading Pickett's charge up toward the Union lines, he had his hat at the tip of his sword. He actually reached the Union lines and got to one of the artillery, and then he was shot. But his group of men advanced farther than anybody had in that charge, and so it was, you know, called the high water mark. I would venture to say that the 90s was the high watermark of interest in Civil War. I have a ton of Civil War stuff that's been given to me by other people, magazines, books, pamphlets. And there was a lot of stuff in the 90s and, you know, and also in the 80s, late 80s. There was a movie, Glory. Then you had the film Gettysburg in 1993. And I remember as a kid just how much Civil War stuff was prominent in mainstream culture. Now, that really doesn't have a lot to do with the podcast topic in question. I grew up... there's things that you, when you're a kid, you have vague memories of. And I was always... Of course, the train has to come by now. And I was always thinking about this documentary because I really couldn't watch some of it. Should I just wait? This is the train. This is like the annoying person who has to come by when you're doing a, you know, like Bill Burr's doing a comedy stand-up and somebody has to has to interrupt it right through the special that they're recording. I didn't watch a lot of it, or maybe I just didn't remember a lot of it, but I always was wondering about the documentary and if I'd missed something. Was there something that had been in it that I hadn't seen that I would appreciate watching? So I ended up watching it. And aside from the fact that it would never be made today, I mean, Shelby Foote, they're interviewing Shelby Foote, and he's talking about Nathaniel Bedford Forrest as a cavalryman. It's never going to happen. But it's a good documentary. It didn't tell me or show me anything I already known. Granted, I've read The Battle Cry of Freedom by whatever his name is. I think it's McPherson. I've read several other Civil War, but I have pretty extensive knowledge about the Civil War. I've read books on Lincoln from both perspectives. I read a book about Stonewall Jackson, and you know, I got a couple books on Robert E. Lee and General Grant. I actually need to read Grant's memoirs. But it was kind of this itch that I needed to scratch. So I just decided I had this time off. It's a 9-episode where some of them go for an hour and a half. So it was an extensive thing. So I ended up watching it. And this is kind of a more passive form of what I'm talking about. And it's the sense of, are you doing everything that you could be doing? You know, I've got probably a couple hundred books. Is there a book that is left unread that should be read? Is there a stone unturned, not turned, that should be turned over? There was this, I'm in a private chat, and one guy was asking this question where he said he had accomplished all this stuff, and yet he felt like he wasn't sure that he was making full use of his time. And honestly, it's a question that I often ask myself. Am I doing everything I could be doing? There's some days when I could be working in my basement, and instead I'm just sitting on my back porch and drinking a cup of coffee or, you know, barbecuing or something like that. Or there's a day, I mean, now it's a little bit different, but I used to go hiking all the time. For logistical and practical reasons, I don't do that as much anymore. But I'm always wondering, whenever I'm being idle, am I making full use of my time? And there's probably different reasons for why people experience this. I think the theory we had was that this is something that a bachelor in particular is going to suffer from. If you don't have kids and you're not married, you really don't have something to really plant your feet on to say, I'm being productive because I'm raising a family or I'm taking care of, you know, a family. So they don't, you know, whenever they have time, you know, to just relax, that's their time to relax. I know several men with families, and for them, having time on your hand, free time, is a rarity. For a bachelor, it varies by person, but you have a lot more time on your hands than other people, so you have the time to actually think about this stuff. Unless you keep yourself really busy. But I think this is also maybe perhaps a personality trait of certain people, and I'm certainly one of those people where I will be driving down Highway 2, you know, to or from Stevens Pass, which is a local ski slope, and I'll see a Forest Service road, and I'll think, should I go down that road sometime? Like, there's all these hills and these just, you know, like I just discovered a really cool U.S. Forest Service road through an area that had timber harvesting. A great place. I'll probably be camping out there at some point. And so you always think, is there always something, is the grass always greener? Is there always more to explore? Is there always more to read? Or are you missing out on something? This is kind of a more innocuous one, but... And this is not necessarily related. It's just a what if, or you, how do I put it? It's really difficult to describe it accurately, but there was a show that a relative had on VHS that I always wanted to watch and never watched, right? As a kid. For whatever reason, I was absolutely shy about asking if I could watch something. Why that is, I don't know. I was just very, very shy about asking for that kind of stuff from an adult. And so, you know, 3 decades later, the relatives are cleaning out all their all the stuff they want to get rid of, and they want to get rid of some VHSs. So they called me up and said, "Do you want them?" And I'm like, "Sure." And they give me all these VHSs, and among them was this one movie. And I'm thinking, hey, I can finally watch this movie and see what this was about. And I watch it, and I can only describe it as being underwhelmed. And granted, I'm an adult now. I'm not a kid. It's not necessarily a kid's show. It was a live-action Disney film. But it was a film where the quality of the film was far less than its... the first film. It was a sequel. And I watched it, and I just have no... It's not that I regret watching it. I just... If I had known in advance that I wasn't missing out on anything, I think that that's the problem, is it's... We don't know if we're missing out on something. It's kind of like, I think, in the movie Up, where there's the old man and he has this lifelong dream, along with his wife Ellie, of moving to the falls in South America and putting their house there. And he finally does it. And this, the entire movie is about him dragging his house, held up by a bunch of balloons, to this falls. And he finally lands it there, and he goes in the house, gets into his rocking chair, and just starts relaxing. And I was thinking, okay, now what? You know, that's a, it was it, for, and you know what's interesting about that actually is, I didn't even occur to me until now. In the film, there's all these things that they've done with their lives, but as they get older, the main character feels like he's failed because he hasn't taken his wife to this waterfall in South America. So he gets plane tickets for them to go because he finally saved up enough money, and his wife has some sort of illness and she dies. This film is from 2009. If I'm spoiling it for you, that's not my problem at this point. And at the beginning of the film, when they're young, you know, when they first meet, she has this scrapbook, and her first thing to do is to go to the falls. And then she has all these other things she wants to do with her life. But the scrapbook is about, you know, putting those memories of the adventures in there. And he's looking at the book from the first pages where the falls is there, and he feels like he hasn't accomplished anything, or he failed or something like that. And then he discovers that there's other parts of the book where she had collected photos of all the different things that the two had done together. And what it was making clear is that they had lived a meaningful life together, and it had not been wasted. And of course, it ends with her saying, you know, like, we've had some adventures, go make some more. So it's almost like there's this healthy balance of accepting that some things not being fulfilled is okay, because there's the idealized version of what we have in our heads. But then there's also things that could be fulfilled that we should pursue. And I think that sometimes it's okay to not be doing something in that sense. Like, yes, I could be out hiking right now. I could be out in somewhere in the wilderness with my puppy. I could be downstairs, you know, doing more wiring or plumbing on my basement. I could be doing all sorts of stuff. Instead, I'm doing this podcast for you guys, for all you dear listeners. I'm doing this. Dude, this is for you. I also think that for me, and this is for me personally, there are some times when I just don't want, I just do not have the drive or desire to work on something. But then I suddenly get into the mood, particularly like there's certain projects, house projects, I will not do unless it's summer. I don't know what it is. It's a quirky personality trait, but I need to be listening to 1980s music on the radio. It needs to be sunny and warm. And I need to have a cold, some sort of ice chilled cold drink. And the barbecue or the grill going. Like, these are things that I associate with doing house projects, right? You work hard and then you have fun afterwards, you know, soaking in the sun with a nice drink in your hand. Like, that's how I do it. There are other people who are perfectly content to work on house projects when it's pouring out rain and cloudy, which it is for a huge chunk of the year in Washington State, particularly in Western Washington. I also wonder if sometimes we have a desire of something to do and it's more symbolic of something else that's been left unfulfilled. I mean, there's a lot of things that I would like to do, and there's a lot of things I could be doing, but this goes back to kind of the illusion. Years ago, I talked about this concept of the illusion of infinite choices. And it's this idea that you have the practical choice, like all these choices that are practical, not hypothetical. And this is really a dynamic or a phenomenon within online dating, where you feel there's a sense that you are just constantly, you have all these different options, and there's always a better option if you just wait a little longer. And that can happen because of our access to so much information. And, you know, you could be on YouTube, you know, seeing someone build a porch, all these different things that you could be doing hypothetically, but practically speaking, does it work? No, there's only so many things that I could be doing. Like, I would love to have a boat and go on the water, but that means practically speaking, I'd have to give up other hobbies. A man can have only so many hobbies. He can only have so many things that he can put his time into. The other thing I would say is, for me, is it's good to have some idle time to just sit. I've been described as a bit of an introspective individual. So introspective people need their porch and their view. And a rocking chair. From in the movie The Searchers, which was with John Wayne back, I think, in the 50s or 60s. It was probably the 50s. There's an old guy named Moses who's I don't want to say homeless, because we think of a guy with Mad Dog 2020 lying on the sidewalk. He just doesn't have a place to live, and all he cares about is getting a rocking chair. I'm finally at the point, it took me a while, but I appreciate his priorities. There's something to be said about having a front or back deck porch with a view and a rocking chair. And it's good not to be distracted all the time, because it also creates another problem where there's something that you don't want to think about or deal with, and so you just keep yourself busy. And on the surface, you seem like you're being productive, when in fact you're just trying to avoid something you don't want to deal with. Now, granted, you can do that while you're being idle. And I'd say, yeah, especially if you're my age, if you're spending hours playing video games and wondering if you're making good use of your time, that is probably a situation where you could ask the question. This is why actually something I do, and this is something that I would recommend to people, is every single morning I get up and I create a list of things that I want to accomplish for the day. So it's like clean the house, write a story for work, change the oil in the car, clean up this room, get this thing repaired, go work out, take the puppy for a walk, teach it a few more obedience lessons. Go do swing dancing or whatever it is. But you have this list of things that you're doing, and when you cross each off, you feel like you've accomplished something. And I think when you don't do that, at the end of the day, you're like, you don't know, or you don't feel like you've done anything. I think the other way to describe this phenomenon or this mentality is the am I missing out on something? And that's going to obviously apply on an individual basis. Some people would feel like they missed out on something. Some people feel regret doing things. But as far as missing out, I would say one of this goes back to this kind of curse of having too much information and having too much knowledge about everything that's going on in the world. And as a writer, one of the advantages of writing fiction is I may never go somewhere or do something, but I can write about it. I may never have my own boat plane, and go and, you know, all to go to all these different places in the plane, I can write a story about a guy who does. I mean, this is one of the reasons like pulp and dime novels were so popular, is because there was kids who were in poverty and really couldn't go anywhere, do anything, but they could read about it. So that's really how I look at this, to answer kind of the question that the gentleman in the private chat was asking, is, you know, keeping track of your progress and stuff. Because it's, the thing is, a lot, things are not accomplished in big strides. They're accomplished in baby steps, in small, gradual, incremental efforts. For example, I'm not Fred Astaire when it comes to dancing, but I've gotten a lot better recently compared to especially when I started. I mean, it's been a long time, and I've, you know, put a lot of effort into it. At least as I see it, I've put, you know, effort into it, but I've gotten better. And that didn't occur overnight. That it involved going to a lot of different lessons and also overcoming moments where I just felt like I was, where you're struggling, like you're having difficulty understanding something, or you're struggling with, you know, learning. Here's how I put it. Learning things when you get older is difficult, but it's necessary. Like, you have to keep learning new things. Because when you stick to stuff, this is a little bit off topic. We're tangenting. We tangent here a lot. Yeah, we're going on a spur line right now. It's important, and I'm going to speak as a man. I'm not, you know, I'm going to let the women's ease, you know, tell the women's what they should do. As a man, you have to keep learning new things. And you have to be willing to go outside your comfort zone. This, I actually would say, yes, if you're feeling like you're not being productive, well, where are you going outside your comfort zone in your life? And here's why it's so important. Because when you stick to only things that you're good at naturally, or where you don't struggle, that's going to severely limit what you do with your life. And by the time you get to be a certain age, you really don't have anything to offer others around you, friends, family, than the few basic things that you've stuck with. You know, you can't, one of the worst things for a man is to grow into old age as a one-trick pony. Because you don't grow, you don't move past certain things, and also you've adopted this mindset of anything difficult or anything I'm not perfect at, I'm not going to do. Well, look at some of the great men in history, men of accomplishment. They didn't accomplish those things naturally. They didn't wake up one day and just be naturally good at stuff. There's many men who had to overcome what we remember them for, they were not good at originally. I was looking back at some of my college papers, and I was not a good writer in my early 20s. Compared to now. And, you know, some people have been reading my novels, you know, that I wrote from a long time ago. And, like, for example, I wrote The Stringers, one of my first novels that got published, in 2013. That was 11 years ago. And I look back at some of that writing, and it's completely different from the writing now. But here's the thing. I've spent thousands of hours honing my craft when it comes to writing. This didn't just... It's like some of my writing now, like, you know, The Song of Wolfgar, which is that Anglo-Saxon poem that I wrote and had it narrated by a great narrator. You should all get this stuff on Amazon, by the way. That took me hours. I spent so much time on that, and I'm very proud. It's one of the things I'm very proud of as far as accomplishing. And but that didn't just occur overnight. There's going to be moments when you are going to feel kind of stupid. You're going to feel dumb. You're going to kind of feel humiliated, and you have to push past that. In what you're going to feel insecure. And this applies to everybody, but the context is all different. There's some people where they are very insecure going to the gym, which I'm obviously not. I haven't felt insecure about going to the gym for over 20 years. There's some people, I mean, I felt when I first got on my motorcycle, I was terrified. It was something I wanted to do, but I was not very good at it when I first got on the bike because this was, again, you're learning this stuff. I was learning a lot of these things in my 30s. And learning things when you're older can become more difficult if you're not constantly doing it. You know, I'm learning things about home improvement projects down in the basement. I'm learning about wiring. I'm learning about, how to, there's all these little things that you don't think about. Like just wiring an electrical outlet. There's all these tiny little things that you have to think about because if you don't, it just makes it harder for you. Or when you're doing plumbing, you have to think about, is it PCVP? Is it PVC? What direction is going, the pressure based on when cut the main, a lot of technical stuff. Basically, ensuring that the water pressure is as high as it can be based on when you break off the water line into the water into the water heater. So this is where, for me personally, I write down things that I am learning. And I think that that's probably the best way to look at this is to say, what am I learning? What is something I'm not good at that I'm working on? Where's an area of life that I can improve? And that's another example of one in my own life is I've been following a guy online who posts about clothing and aesthetics from male aesthetics. And that inspired me to clean up my wardrobe. And to be more conscientious about the clothes I wear and how it is aesthetically, complementary. So my fashion style, there's on Twitter, people were posting photos of themselves from 2013. I'm not posting photos of myself from 2013 because I did not dress well. I dressed okay, depending on the occasion, but I did not compare it to now. So I guess that's the moral, the lesson of this episode. Feel like this is some kids learn, what is it, kids TV show where they, what, I have not seen a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood episode in probably 25, 30 years. So I'm sure at the end of it, he would have a life lesson. Except I'm not wearing a cardigan sweater, and I'm not going to take 20 minutes to put my shoes on. So that's probably the best way to look at it for somebody who's wondering, am I making enough use of my time? Write down things that you are working on and the things that you are working on that you are not good at and that you're trying to improve in your life. And also asking yourself, how often am I working on this? I think the thing to avoid doing is this sense that you have to be constantly, continuously doing something. And you can't take a moment break because then you kind of become a robot. Another mind, the way I describe that mindset is the mule mindset, where you've just got your nose to the grindstone all the time. I mean, for people who don't know, mules can go without sleep. They basically just go, and they're not high energy, but they just are labor, and they can be labor intensive. It's okay to take a break. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I think that's all I got to say on that. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martineau, coming to you from my war room, not my man cave, my war room, in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia, signing off.